We're back, Stripe Show Podcast, on a Tuesday, back in the saddle. I'm your host, Travis Fulton. Thank you for making us part of your day. Took last week off, had to get away, clear my mind. Amelia Island, Omni Resort. Never been. You're looking for kind of a fun place to go with the family. Highly recommend it. Amelia Island's a great spot. Omni Resort does a fantastic job. Kid-friendly. And we had a great 3 days. But I'm back. I'm refreshed. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to pick a winner. You know what that means? My man from at Read the Line, Keith Stewart, back in his home office. How you doing, buddy? Did you miss me last week?
Do we have a new sponsor? About Golf and Omni Resorts? That was a deep read right there. Right. You were going
No, Omni's not a sponsor. But, you know, I like to call out the places that are great in customer service. I do know the GM there a little bit, and he's always very good to us. But I got to tell you, like, his whole team, he sets the tone. They're on it there, man. Like, they do a really good job. It's right on the ocean, super kid-friendly. I got a 9 and 8-year-old. I dig it, man. We've been going every spring break, and they just continue to exceed expectations. So there you have it.
Hey, you know, style filters down.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. And well, I mean, the style on the PGA Tour right now, let's just start there. You know, all kinds of first time winners. You just don't know where these people are going to come from. And, you know, we go Peter Malnati a few weeks ago. I had to step away when Malnati wins. Like, my head's about ready to explode. And we come back and here we are in Texas and Jägerbaum gets his first win.
Yeah.
What in the hell is going on the PGA Tour?
I mean, won 6 times on the Korn Ferry Tour.
I know. No, I'm kidding. You know,
what's more interesting is that, you know, Scotty lost by one and he gave the field 5 to 6 shots, depending on how you feel about certain. I mean, it's pretty crazy. He comes down the stretch there and he just starts hitting those iron shots inside 10 feet, one after another, and then he can't putt again. You know, he can putt when we have Wyndham, but no, now he can't putt. Great. Awesome.
I'm half joking, obviously, with Peter winning. I was very happy for Peter Malnati. How can you not like the guy? His second win on the PGA Tour. And now Steven Yeager, who in many ways is a true journeyman, 34 years of age, from Germany. 6 times he's won on the Korn Ferry Tour, which is, I think, second most. I think only Jason Gore has won more.
Seven, Gore's got seven.
Gore's got seven. I mean, so look, this dude can play. He's been living, it seems like, on the first and second page of the leaderboard. And yeah, I mean, he had a little good fortune come his way. I think he shot even on the back. You know, he didn't birdie a couple of the birdieable holes coming in, but make no mistake, he got his win. And it was cool to see Joel Damon hanging out there. That means a lot, you know, to those guys. I think when players hang out, and it speaks to the kind of guy that he is. And so to your point about Scheffler, you know, look, I think we're seeing improvement, you know, with Scottie Scheffler. With his putter, it's going to be interesting to see where that takes us, you know, for the rest of the year, especially situationally, because we know Scheffler's going to be there from tee to green. Keith, the guy's the best in the world. We know that when you're the best in the world, tee to green, you're going to be there come Sunday. I think the question is going to become with Scheffler is what it looks like situationally down the stretch, to win tournaments. You know, is he that guy that's going to put more away than others? We're used to seeing Tiger just put every field away every time he gets in that situation. A lot of comparisons to Tiger about his ball striking, but Scottie's not Tiger. You know, I mean, he's just not, there's probably never will be, but it will be interesting to see where his putter takes him for the rest of the season.
Yeah. I still think at this stage, it's unfair to compare Scottie to Tiger. I mean, he's on a heater with his ball striking, but he went 72 events before he won one. And yes, his last 3 years have been epic and congratulations. But, you know, Tiger has a couple par five or top fives in a row and he doesn't win one. I mean, we're surprised. And what we saw Scottie do this weekend, I mean, at the end of the day, 5 feet, 4 inches on the last hole. Yeah. Did you really think it was going in or did you think it was 50-50? Right. Forget the API and the players for just a second. Right. Scottie hits it in there close. As you get ready to predict and cover the Masters. Did you really think that putt was going in? Or did you think it was like a 50-50 shot? I don't know. I don't know. I have an answer to that yet. But it was interesting nonetheless.
Well, I think that is the point, right? I mean, Scotty has been Tiger tee to green. I mean, that, I don't think anybody ever thought that they would see someone dominate tee to green like Tiger did. And Scheffler is showing it. I mean, the guy is absurd. I mean, he's from another planet from tee to green, how good he is. And so it is kind of Tiger-esque from that standpoint. Then you put the flat stick in his hand and situationally, and that's where, okay, the gap is large with Tiger in putting away tournaments. Now, maybe Tiger, maybe Scotty will get to that point where he starts just putting those things away. Who knows? It is unfair. Tiger's, in my view, the best of all time. And the reason for that, not only is it tee to green, it's when the chips are down, Tiger makes that putt and he puts him away. So anyway, let's move on. Tiger's in the field for the Masters. We'll get to that next week when we break it down and we all pick Tiger to win the Masters, right? But this week,
maybe
we go to the Valero Texas Open, TPC San Antonio, AT&T Oaks. Man. I can remember when they built this place. We actually put an academy there, tour academy, at TPC San Antonio, and I've been there many times. Right when it opened. Speaking of a really cool place to go with your family, that's another good one, right there.
The Alamo.
Yeah, right there they have the water park and the backdrop. A lot of the families go to this one. It's good, but the golf course, right? There's only been probably three times in my life where I walked off a golf course and I thought about never playing golf again. And this Wow. was one of them at this golf course playing. We opened the academy there and the wind was blowing like it felt like 180 miles an hour. Good and times. It just like when the wind gets going there, as you know, in Texas.
Yeah.
And golf course and it's pretty penalizing and this and that, like I just got beat down and I just wanted off the course and I never thought I was going to go back. And then you watch these guys play it, right? And the conditions are going to be, they're not going to get a ton of wind, it doesn't look like. And you watch these guys play it and then it just hits you again like how much better they are. Right?
Is that where this soliloquy is going? Like, they're good.
You know, you just realize how great they are when they get around this golf course in like 20, 25 mile an hour winds. But anyway, good course, fun property. When you break it down, what kind of player are we looking at?
You know, there's a couple interesting things that I think the average person might overlook, or, you know, when you're reading all of your betting content that, you know, somebody might not see. But with my PGA perspective, I'm going to key on a couple of things. Number one, this is a very difficult golf course from an approach perspective. The greens are small. They're top 10 smallest, you know, on the tour. But what's interesting is that at 7,400 plus yards, you get this idea that like, yeah, it's like a top five longest course on tour too. So you're thinking length, long iron play and everything. But I've looked back at the last 10 top 10s. And the biggest gains on approach were coming from inside 100 yards. And we don't say this very often, especially on a 7,400 yard plus golf course. I'm like, why is that the case? I got to look at this a little closer. So I looked at the maps. I looked at the scorecard. And then you start to see it. You've got four par fives that average almost 600 yards in length. So for a majority of the field, those are three shot holes. So there's four of those shots, right? And then you've got five par fours that are under 410 yards. Well, if guys are blasted away there, then there's more shots under 100 yards. And then you start to see how it all comes together and you say to yourself, huh, this is interesting. There's something to that. So yes, we have to favor approach here, but you also want to favor it from 100 yards and in. And you wonder if like somebody like tournament favorite Rory McIlroy, is that his wheelhouse? Because it hasn't been. And, you know, so that's one thing I'm paying attention to. The other thing is that at 7,400 yards, I don't know that length really matters when, you know, second in strokes gained career here is like Matt Kuchar and you've got winners like JJ Spahn and people are talking about, you know, favorites this week. They're talking about Billy Horschel and Ryan Moore and guys like that. You know, I think this is very much off the tee because the bunkering in the trees can be so penal that it's a position golf course, it's patience off the tee, and then it's attack with your wedges when you have them in your hands. And when you don't, you got to try to hit your greens as best you can. So those two things, and then just avoid bunkers. There's 64 of them, and, you know, Grimman obviously was not happy with sand when he made this place. I mean, the jagged edges to these things, these guys end up in all these nooks and crannies. A lot of the faces have long grass to them.
Oh,
they just brutal. They just sit in all sorts of, I mean, well, you're talking from experience, but, you know, covering this event, you know, it's just the worst set of bunker, like the most difficult, not worst, but the worst to deal with, the most difficult set of bunkers. I mean, it's like perennially in the top 10 most difficult on tour. So those are the three things I think that kind of, you know, everyone else knows what they're looking for, but those are three things that I'm featuring that I think are going to, you know, narrow it down for me and trying to predict it outright.
Well, look at the winners here, right? Corey Connors, he's won a couple times. Spawn.
Yep.
My boy, JJ, at 2000, was it 22? Yeah, he won in 22.
Yeah.
Spieth in 21. That was a cool win. He had some great short game shots, I remember, down the stretch, especially that one. It was like a muddy lie. You remember that when he,
what was that?
It was like 15, 16, somewhere in there. And he got
and it was hand. From, and it was from what? 100 yards and in.
Oh, that was a great shot. That was a great shot. Andrew Landry. Yeah, we're just screaming distance here, aren't we? In 18, Chapel, 17, Hoffman's one. Yeah. So I think that's a great breakdown. I really like that. And so I built a model a little bit around that, Keith.
Oh.
And the one factor that I didn't put in at all is putting. I just took putting completely out. I'm going this week, Keith, no putt team. All right. No putt. So
not one guy.
Yeah, there's one. There's one. But right. I'm going to throw some names at you and you're going to be like, oof, okay.
Wow. I mean, I've got a couple in my head already that I could see you going with.
I mean, Corey Connors won here twice for crying out loud.
That's one for sure.
JJ Spawn.
I mean, yeah, that's another one.
Okay. So yeah,
a current name, but I've got lists of names in front of me all the time. I mean, yeah. And
I've weighed out approach big time to your point, right? We got to have approach. I really factored in the wedge game as well. To your point, you know, the 100 yards, 125, et cetera. I factored in some greens and regulation gain. Like I want to, you know, we're on the green opportunities gain. I weighed that out. Strokes gained tee to green. Like everything here is about, all right, keep it in front of you. Don't have to be long. Let's hit a lot of greens and you got to have a decent short game. And
can I ask you a quick question?
We're going to roll the dice on the putter. Yes, go ahead.
How would you get it behind you? Everyone always says, keep it in front of you. So
you know what I mean? Like, I don't want, you know, this way.
Okay.
Right. I don't want the big miss. And to your point, like you mentioned some names that have bode well here. Corey Connors doesn't have this crazy big miss. Matt Kuchar, you don't think about him having this crazy big miss.
No.
Lucas Glover, right? He's played pretty well here. He's got three top 20s in the last four tournaments here. Brant Snedeker's played decent here. Zach Johnson's played decent. I mean, these are some of the names.
Are we talking about the 2010 Ryder Cup team?
These are some of the names that have played well here on this weird golf course. Kind of weird. Right. It's kind of weird.
It's pretty vanilla other than the bunkers.
It's all right. So with that said, here comes this model, right? The no putt team. Yeah. Valero 2024. And I went recent. Like, who are my boys coming in that are getting it done? But let's just, you know, pretend that putter doesn't exist. Yeah, go ahead and guess.
All right. I need to guess a couple here.
All right.
All right. So right off the bat, other than Connors, I'm gonna go for the poor man Corey Connors. I'm gonna go Aaron Rye, two gloves Rye. He's gotta be on that.
He's down there. He's in the top 20. He's in the top. He's 16. No.
All right.
No. Excuse me. Hold on. He's 11th. Yeah. Good one.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Here's one for you. Guy's been older guy, very much in the Matt Kuchar role. Ryan Moore. He's been striking the ball great lately. He's healthy, right? Yeah. There you go. Oh, yeah.
Number two. Yeah.
Number two. Let me see. Oh, okay. How about full eject button last week by my man, Kashmir Keith Mitchell. He's got to be on there, right?
Number four.
All right. Man, I got two and four.
I'm not betting Keith, though. I'm not betting Keith. No. You got to have number one. I mean, he at the top of the board, he's my guy, Hideki. And Hideki now has
Hideki's
showed some life with his putter.
Hideki's putter isn't nearly as bad as those other guys we just mentioned have been,
which is why I like him at the top of the board.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot to like about Hideki this week, other than there's a lot to like about Hideki this week.
All right. So there's a guy in the top five that's going to be my first look, but I'm a good host, so I'm going to give you the first go.
The best player. You love when I click the mouse. You love when I click the mouse.
Go ahead.
All right. The best player to have never played in a major championship is your hint. It's my first clue.
No, that's easy.
Who?
That's Ludwig.
You got it.
Or I'm sorry, Ludwig. Ludwig. Yeah. Is it Ludwig? Which way are we going?
Whatever you want. Yeah. Okay, guy's winning this week. We call him what you want. Aubert, Haberg, whatever. Wow. Right?
Wow.
Just saying. Right? It's a player to never play in a major. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I remember walking around RSM and watching what he did there on a golf course that you really shouldn't use driver, and you did. And then his wedges were unbelievable, and he goes 61-61 on the weekend. He's like the best player in the field from 100 yards and in with a wedge, and he's one of the best drivers if Rory's not in the field. So, you know, like for me, I mean, I know the guy who took that picture right there. You know, it's
you do? It's pretty, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It is silky. I mean, it's really good. It's simple. It's powerful.
Yeah.
He's got the finesse game. For those watching right now, like, or for listening, what the hell are these guys talking about? I've got Ludwig Swing up there right now, and we're just marveling at it. I mean, he is, he's the real deal right now. Coming here, he played here. He did play here as an amateur, right? I think he was here.
He played college golf in Texas. I mean, that's,
well, I know, but he played in this. I know that. I mean, but he played in this tournament, I believe. Maybe I'm mistaken. But anyway, first time as a professional getting around. Look, that surprises me a little bit, to be honest with you, out of you. The guy that preaches win equity, all these things, and I take notes and you educate me.
Wait a second. Has Ludwig won in the last 6 months?
Yeah, he has. He has.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did he win points in the Ryder Cup in the last 9 months? What kind of equity are you looking to buy, right?
All right. I'm buying this equity. Here's my boy this week. I'm got to get, I got to get ball striking. I've got to get all those things I talked about.
Ooh.
But I need a little bit of the putter too, and this boy can bring the putter, as we know. He can putt anywhere. Harris English, I think he's on his way back, folks. I mean, not that he went too far away, but we know, speaking of win equity, this guy can get it done. And I like what I see from this guy over, I would say, really the better part of 2 months. I had his coach on, Justin Parsons. I talked off air quite a bit about Harris. And they cleaned up some things with him. And I just get the feeling that Harris is about ready to get back into the winner's circle. All of the metrics that I talked about, he checks those boxes. He drives it well enough. His iron game is just steadily on the climb. We saw him at the Players, positive 2.8, approach positive 2.9 off the tee. Didn't putt great up to Harris standards, still a top 20. 19th at the Players, 21st at Arnold, 7th at Genesis, 17th at Waste Management. We're talking, four top 21s in his last four outings. Now he comes here, keep it in front of him. And let's go positive 2.5 putter, positive 3. I mean, Connor's won here at 0.4 last year, for crying out loud. And Harris English can hit the ball as good as Corey Connors. There's your winner right there, Harris English.
All right. He's going to need to be much better with a wedge inside of 100 yards.
All right.
All of those other things are true. 100%.
Look at that. I can see the difference. I can see the difference in what they're doing. We're not going to get into that. We'll save that for another day. All right. Let's just, you know, back to the top of the board here. I think, you know, what's McIlroy? Where's his head at? We know huge week for him next week. His wedge game's not the best, to your point. Åberg coming in at 12. Matsuyama, we talked about. He's there kind of hovering between 18 and 20. Spieth's won here before. Is Spieth looking ahead, or is he, like, you know, bearing down, do you think? Texas guy, he's, you know, he's got good vibes. Ready? Here. We just kind of overlook him.
Jordan Spieth has won twice in the last almost 7 years.
Wow.
Straight facts.
Yeah.
Okay. No cap for your kids there. Right. Okay. Prior to Valero and the Heritage, which he's won in the last couple of years, the win before that was Birkdale, which was 17s, British Open.
Wow.
Jordan Spieth's got a lot going on, man. I mean, does that put it in perspective for you?
It really does.
You know, like, I mean, and when you look at the numbers right now, and I love Spieth, and I wish Spieth was, like, doing – not even Scotty things, but, like, he was, like, more relevant, like a JT and just, like, but like, I don't know what to say. You know, when he won here in, what was it, 21, he had, like, one of his best iron weeks ever, you know, like, and lately you look at Spieth. I mean, you don't see him on your model because, like, you don't look that far down.
Right.
Right. But, like, the approach game is, like, it's, It's all of it is very un-Spieth-like. And I think if anyone was looking ahead to next week, it would be Jordan, because that's the one place where he could, like, you know, he's traveling to Mecca. You know, that's the one place for him that steers him straight. But man, oh man, nobody roots for Jordan Spieth more. I mean, but, like, look at the last two starts, just bad missed cuts. Sloppy.
This will give you an idea. Last 12 rounds in the field, strokes gained approach, he's 140th.
Of 156 guys.
I know it. He's at the bottom.
Of which, yeah.
Yeah. I steered way clear of Spieth this week. There's Connors, obviously. I mean, it doesn't take a lot to like Connors this week. He loves his place. He's won it twice. Max Homa still trying to find it. It feels like for me, he's still trying to kind of put the pieces together. He's there at 25. I mean, you know, Fitzpatrick, Morikawa. I think in the middle of the board, Connors is obvious. I think if I had to stretch, I didn't bet this, but if I was going to pick another one up there, you could talk me into Fitzpatrick. You know, it feels like Fitzpatrick is getting closer and maybe ready to win again. Am I too far off base there?
No, I mean, you just may not know why, but he made an adjustment to his driver that there had been an issue. And then we saw what he did at the Players. So I think Fitzpatrick just wasn't getting the ball in play. And if you start to model out his numbers and you just go by the numbers, you're going to get a Fitzpatrick that's going to be way down the board in your chart there. But if you look at his most recent start and then you say to yourself, okay, like, he's a good fit for this place because he's a great scrambler. He's a good putter and he's got a good bunker game. I mean, who will ever forget that fairway bunker shot to win the US Open? You know, the guy. So if he's got the driver in order at this place, he's got to be, in my mind, one of the favorites at the top to win outside of Corey and Hideki and Ludwig.
Yep.
You know, and then, you know, hopefully most people overlook him because it's his first time there. And they say they push him up to like 30 by Wednesday. And then, you know, I mean, I'll give you a choice. You want Fitzpatrick or you want Morikawa?
Oh, Fitzpatrick. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and I mean, in Morikawa, you know, is a world-class player. He's more in a Spieth mode right now. So, at the top of the board, I'm with you there.
Okay. Well, you know, as we work down, I mean, there's a couple guys in Noren and Horschel that are next. And, you know, Noren has been playing some decent golf, and it's been good to see Billy Horschel get back. You know, I think it was a little bit of a grind there for Horschel for a period of time there at the end of last season into the beginning of this season. I mean, at the Sony, he had a, you know, he had a top 20 there, but then played, he didn't play good at all on the West Coast. And then he comes back to Florida and hit the reset. And we talked about that, right? We talked about a number of guys. All right, West Coast swing. Gosh, wasn't for me. Let's get back to Florida. Let's hit the reset button. Obviously, Billy lives not too far from where I'm sitting right now. And he knows Florida golf. Let's start putting it together. And that's exactly what he did. Ninth in Palm Beach, missed a cut at the Players, but 12th at Valstar, kept it going last week at Houston, where he finished seventh. And so Billy, to me, is putting the pieces together. I don't know. Do I like him here to win? Probably not. But I do like, I do think Billy keeps it going, and I wouldn't be surprised with another top 20.
I agree with all that.
Yeah.
I agree with all
that. Where would you take us? Where would you take us here as we work down the board? I mean, drive the ship here to the next name that, you know, that you have circled.
There's three guys that are sitting right in the middle of the board when you're talking about 1 to 100 that I hear a lot of chatter on, either online or offline. And they all have very compelling arguments with which to bet. And that's Tom Kim, Aaron Rye, and Cibes, Christian Bezuidenhout. Mm-hmm. And they're all sitting right around 55 to 60 to 65 to one, right? Depending on how things fluctuate. And it's just interesting, you know, like, why did Bezuidenhout skip last week? Right. The cutoff for top 50 for a Masters was March. Maybe he didn't know, but it was March 31st. And he was 55th in the world. And he goes and he top fives or top tens, which is realistic for him the way he's playing at Houston. He probably gets into Augusta. And now he's got to win this week in order to get in. And he's playing really, really well. So that, you know, like, and he can putt. And he's another guy like Aubert, who I just love from inside 100 yards. Mm-hmm. Tom Kim. You know, he dropped out of the Players because he was sick, not because he was injured. He had like 102 fever or something like that. So he got really sick. Last time somebody withdrew from the Players, the next time they won was Rahm, and he won the Masters. So it's pretty good. And Aaron Rye, if we're going team no putt, there's a guy, you talk about accumulating greens and regulation at this place. He will accumulate as many as anyone in the field. And he needs a golf course that you don't need to be a great putter on in order to kind of break through. And Aaron Rye is one on the DP World Tour. So it's not like, you know, this would be a new experience for him. And he's been playing very well. He's been striking the ball great lately. So I think I've been hearing a lot of chatter in that range there, more so than in the 30-40 land. You know, everyone's talking about Adam Scott. He's won on four different venues in Texas. You got Bo Hostler. He was good there a couple of years ago, but where's Bo been? Akshay's sitting there. Eric Cole sitting there. You know, like, so I think there's a lot of value to be had in this 50-60 range.
All right, let's go back to my team no-putt model and see what we have. Last 12 rounds, now, keep in mind. Let me stretch it a little bit. Let's go 24, all right? Let me give you just a little.
I mean, let's take a really bad putter, go to 36 rounds. Like, take somebody who really can't putt.
You know the name that I want to bet so bad, but his putter is just not good as Joel Damon.
Oh, I mean, Joel,
Joel Damon is just on fire with his irons. I mean, he can go wedge game good. I mean, Joel Damon.
And he's a straight driver, so he's good for this place. Really good. Really good. Yeah.
I mean, do you go there? I mean, there's just no flick it. You're just any hope of the putter coming to life.
Joel
Damon's number two, Keith Mitchell. We talked about as number three, Aaron Rye's number four. I think look, the way the PGA Tour is going, I'm betting Aaron Rye. I am betting Aaron Rye this week. He's on team no putt. And I think you laid it out nicely in the way that he's playing. He's one of the DP World Tour. Aaron Rye is on my card. Another guy I haven't bet yet, team no putt, is Lucas Glover. No, I'm not going to do it. There's Connors. There's Connors. You know who else is on team no putt right now in the last 24 rounds? You're not going to want to hear this. You're not going to want to hear this. Ludvig Abraham, number nine.
I guess it fits the MO.
I like Bezuidenhout. I like Bezuidenhut. He might be the best wedge player in the field. Interesting with Bezuidenhut. I've been trying to follow that journey of swing coaches. Now he's got his old coach back. I think I texted you when I was out there at TPC Sawgrass, and I didn't see Jeff Smith hanging with him. I thought they did some really good work, and now Jeff's not there, and now his old coach is. So I don't know what's going on, but I mean, he checks a lot of boxes here. You know, his driver gets a little weird at time, but in the approach game, handles the par fours, gets a lot of good looks. Probably, you know, he's very solid. Bezuidenhut checks some boxes here.
I mean, no doubt. He's got the check marks out.
He does.
Hey, I gotta jump on this for a second real quick. Ready?
Okay. Yep.
Proximity inside 100 yards. Number one, Aubert. Number two, Joel. Number three, Cibes.
There you go.
Last 24 rounds.
Yeah.
As a qualifier. So.
So can Joel hit it to like 4 feet? That's what we need him to do.
Maybe it's more like 12.
Could be.
I don't know.
Could be.
I don't know. I mean, 5 feet, 4 inches seemed very long on Sunday for some people.
I'm betting Joel. Yeah, look.
Can you imagine I did a parlay?
Joel and Gino. Love Joel and Gino. I mean, I think Joel's hitting the great, and he's one of the best. So I'm maybe, you know, he goes positive two this week. So I'm sprinkling him as a long shot. Yeah, what's he in right now? Where's Joel at right now? He's in the
Joel's got to be down around 100.
Yeah, he's got to be 100 and 120, somewhere in there.
Joel is,
where'd he go? Can't find him.
Maybe he's moving up the board.
Let me throw this name at you and get a reaction.
Okay.
Austin Eckroat.
I mean, is Austin Eckroat going to win twice in a month? That's the only question I have for you. Is Austin Eckroat good enough to win twice in a month?
Hey.
On the PGA Tour.
After what I saw down the stretch in West Palm with the lead,
it's good.
Dude was in charge. Dude was in charge.
He was.
Look at Ryan Moore. Ryan Moore ranks way up there. Oh, Ryan Moore, you know, 90 to 1, 100 to 1. Hitting it very well. Chandler Phillips, right. Another one of those guys.
You ready?
Yep.
Joel, in his last three, he's played there four times, but in his last three Valero Texas Opens, he's been positive with the putter in all three of them.
Okay. There you go.
Yep.
You heard it here first, folks.
Just saying.
If I could just find his odds and where they are right now. Got to be around 100. Go back to my model here. My models could be the ticket this week. Just very well could be the ticket outside of Harris English, who is not going to show up on this because Harris can putt, but also is trending in the other parts. But to your point, needs to have a good week with the wedges. Ben on. He's in the top 10.
Yeah.
Novak, we've seen him pop. He's in the top 10. Again, this is factoring in all the key metrics outside of the putter.
Atia, Joel, 200 to 1.
200 to 1. That's disrespectful the way he's hit. I mean, my God.
I mean,
you don't jump on
that's
that.
That's only half of what Milanotti was.
If you don't jump on that. If you don't jump on that, that's disrespectful. The way that he's hitting it.
I mean, I think that FanDuel was just asleep at the wheel. They didn't know that Joel had gained with the putter his last three starts.
I think you're
it's an opening.
Best ball striker, strokes and approach, last 24 rounds, Keith Mitchell, Moore, Damon, Connors. I like this Victor Perez, too. I think he's another name down the board that, I don't know, he gets some discussion as well. But
at 100 to 1, you going to go with Victor Perez or Andrew Novak? I mean, let's talk apples to apples.
I'm going
to
go Victor Perez. Perez, 17th at the Houston Open. Approach game check. Positive with the putter. Not a great putter. He was 16th in West Palm. I don't know. I kind of like Victor Perez. I think I'm going to give Victor Perez the nod over Novak. Okay. You're going to, you want Novak is what you're saying.
Well, I just, Victor Perez, he hits a lot of greens in regulation, but he could be better from 100 yards and in. The short game's not great, and the putter's eh. But I guess we don't need a putter this week.
We've established that. 100 to 125 yards last 24 rounds. Bazaden Hunt, number one, like you said. Landry, who's won here, number two. Cody Gribble, Damon, Taylor Montgomery, Kazire, Matsuyama, Chad Ramey, who played well last week.
It's just, you know, like those little, they're not little, but like the idea that there's like 50% of the holes there, you're going to approach from 100 yards and in, 110 yards and in.
Yep.
I mean, that's how, so like those top tens that I did a deep dive on, right? Mm-hmm. So they average like 22 and a half subpar scores or birdie or better scores per year, right? And the average winning score is like 16 under par, so that you're going to make mistakes. And, you know, you've got to be able to score when those opportunities happen. And if you're just hitting it to 18, 20 feet from, you know, 85 yards, you're just not going to keep up this week. There'll be plenty of guys that can do it otherwise, you know, and like a Seabez is just, that guy will kill you from there, you know, 85, 90 yards out, 105 yards out. He's going to hit it inside 10 feet every time. And then he's a good putter. Same thing with Ludwig, you know, so. You know, and Joel hit it there, but then is he going to make those putts or enough of them to get to 23 birdies?
That's the long shot in this, right? I mean, you have the conversation and with Peter Malinotti a couple of weeks ago at 400-1, right? And there's plenty of metrics to challenge and trying to find the angle on why you would, you know, consider someone at those odds. I think at this particular venue, for me, in stretching it out in the odds and trying to find that angle, it would be based off the history of the course. Like, it's not set up for someone who, you don't have to necessarily be a great putter here. I mean, you just got to look at the winners, right? Look at the people that designed the course. You know, that's kind of the way that this place is set up. It's not going to reward.
I mean, it's a great point. Greg Norman, you know who his consultant was? It gets better.
I do know.
He used to date his daughter.
God, I'm drawing a blank. Tell me. I'm drawing a blank.
Sergio.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a ball striker, you know, especially off the tee. You're talking about two of the straightest drivers of your and my lifetime in Sergio and Greg. And then you're just, I mean, every Norman course is always the same. It's all risk reward off the tee. And then when you get to the green, it might as well be, you know, don't even bring your aim point footwork, right? The whole thing's just flat. It's just crazy. It's like, but then
the wind's blowing 30.
Well, yeah. Well, that's true too. But like, that's why I remember a couple years ago when I was looking at this and I learned the Sergio thing and I was like, that's a tandem right there for you.
Yeah.
You know,
those are the two. That's it. I mean, it's just it right from the very beginning, right? Right from the, and you think I would like the place because that's me. Like, I'm not a, you know, I'm a 50-50 putter. So you think I would have loved that place. But when you stand on those greens, and they are kind of flat and these bunkers that you get in with this grass and the wind's blowing 35, it's just like, my God, I don't know, man. Like, I couldn't imagine dealing with that every day. But, So it's kind of we're taking an interesting angle here this week. I'm really happy to hear you bring up Aaron Rye. Like that's one that I'm glad that you liked this week because it was another one that I liked here, you know, towards the middle of the board. I don't think I'll bet Ekrode. I think you bring up some he does feel like he's kind of got the game here. Montgomery's a good wedge player. You know,
too good a putter.
Too good of a putter.
That's the point, though. He can't separate himself against a guy that's a better ball striker and an average putter. Like, that's what strokes gained is. Now, hey, real quick on Aaron Rye. I am an Aaron Rye fan, and here's why. 2 years ago, I go to Riviera, and Tiger shows up by surprise, right? You know, he puts himself in the field as part of the accident comeback. And that Wednesday morning, he plays in the pro-am, first tee time, like 6:30 in the morning, and it's 40 degrees, blowing 20. It is freezing out, right? All right. We make the turn, and one player from the field comes out and watches Tiger and walks with his pro-am group on a Wednesday for 9 holes, Aaron Rye. And so I walked over to him and I said, I feel like you're in this field, like you should have something better to do, like practice or something. He goes, hey man, I've never seen it live. And I just, before it never happens again, this is my opportunity. I'm going to watch. And I was like, oh man, like what a perspective. So right. he's a guy who can win. I mean, what, he won the Genesis Scottish Open in an October windy one, you know, with a very low score where, you know, you could only make so many putts up there at the Renaissance Club. So like, you know, Rye here, if it blows a little bit, and he's hitting it really good right now. I mean, mm-hmm. we saw, you know, last week for sure. And I would root for that guy in a heartbeat. You know, I like him.
So I think for me, Matsuyama, English, Aaron Rye, Perez, and I'll probably sprinkle a little Joel. Like those are, that's kind of, you know, stretching the board there a little bit is where my head's at. I think that's, you know, Horschel's interesting. I think, I don't think I'll play him, but it's good to see him back playing well. And I a top 20 feels near with him. You know, Nate Lashley kind of checks out. He's another guy that checks out with some of these metrics that I put in there. But I'm comfortable with that. I'm comfortable. I miss anybody?
No, I mean, at the top, you know where I sit. Mm-hmm. A little lower. I haven't made my final decisions yet, but you know, Ryan Moore is very interesting to me. Novak's interesting to me. Mav McNealy is interesting to me. And then one other guy two other guys, KH Lee is interesting to me, sitting at 90-1, but there's another guy sitting at 90-1 that I was surprised that you didn't bring up KH this Lee. Week. Okay. And KH Lee's played good lately.
Yeah.
And he's won twice in Texas. So, he's got that down. There's two guys that you in the last 6 or 7 months have been very high on their kind of progression as PGA Tour pros. One has been Cam Davis. That's not who I'm talking about. But the other one shares one of his names, and that's Davis Thompson. And I think this could be a good fit for him.
Really?
I'm not 100% there yet, but
interesting.
Somebody in that little potpourri of names right there is going to fill out my betting card of probable names this week, you know? And you know, at the, you know, he's Decky, Aubert, but down there a ways, man, Aaron Rye, Davis Thompson, some of these guys really catch my attention with what they're doing. Matt McNealy is another one. I don't know.
I think I was, Ryan. I think in recalling my analysis of Cam Davis, I think I was probably higher on his progression. And then Davis Thompson, maybe a little more of his ceiling based off how he drives the ball. I do think his approach game seems to be getting better. But have I been that big on Davis? Have I been over the last year? Okay. All right.
Yeah. Not last year. The last, six months.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last 6 months.
Yeah. I think his iron game has definitely has showed signs in the last year, into this year. Obviously a little more course knowledge now as he kind of works around again. A little erratic with the putter. You know, he seems to be a little up and down there. Short game.
But he's,
I think
he's ranked 16. Seems to
be steadily improving. Yeah, I mean, it's coming along with Davis. There's no doubt. It's definitely coming along with Davis. This week, no, he doesn't fit the criteria.
He's a top 25 ball striker, right? He's great at scoring on par fives.
Too good of a putter. He's a too good of a putter, damn it.
I don't know. He's right in the middle. He's in that no man's land. He's really good. He's really good with a wedge inside 100 yards, and he's great with his driver. So I feel like, you know, that's like the Charlie Hoffman recipe here. You know, you bomb it down there. You're really good with your wedges, and then, you know, you're mediocre at putting for the week, and then you win. You know,
it is Connors and Hoffman season. There's no doubt. It is Corey Connors and Charlie Hoffman. Last five rounds, they are two of the top three strokes gained performers. Hey. Matt Kuchar sandwiched in between.
It's 12:45 on a Tuesday. This is what we're looking at. Right. You know,
all right. I can't talk about the Texas Open anymore. That's it. Those are the names.
One week. I'll be down in Augusta.
You'll be in Augusta joining us live. Yeah. From Augusta. Please wear that green sweater. I have a green jacket, by the way, that I'm a member here. So it looks just like winning. I'll wear that tomorrow or next Tuesday. I've been already doing some research on that. I'll come. I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you who wins right now.
Come on.
So I'll tell you. I did pick it last year, though, by the way. So that was good.
That was a tough one. John Rahm. Yeah. If you told me you went 2 for 2, I'd really be impressed. You picked Scotty off of 3 wins, and then you went John Rahm.
I did. So I picked the good last job. Two. So yeah. No big deal. No big deal. Who's going to win this week is the big question. We're going Malnati,
Jaegerbaum
and Rye. Could be.
Rye, Aaron Rye. I mean, the books for a guy that doesn't putt it very well, him sitting right there in the 50s tells you a lot.
Yeah, right? Does I like it.
If this was a week where strokes gained putting was more of a skill required, that guy's odds would be 110. It'd be double that. Mm-hmm. But you know, he's sitting right there with Akshay, two great ball strikers that can't putt.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
This is the week. All right, there you have it. Lower Texas Open. Keith Stewart at Read the Line. Thank you, buddy. Back next week. The Masters. Can't wait.
Peace.